Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, knuckleheads. We're glad to have you back today.
Man, I'm sorry, man. I'm tired of being spiritual.
Man, what's wrong with you, man?
How do you call knuckleheads,
man? I tell you, for these North Memphis folk, boy, I tell you, man, they come from the street, and then they go steal. Throw that shade out there, man. We both be encouragers in the word and the Lord, man.
Knuckleheads. Hey, man. I'm trying to be spiritual, man. Hey, we want to welcome y'all to Stay Up with P.O. Gray and Rodney Kirkwood. We thankful on today that you come to spend time with us. Don't pay any attention to Rodney. I'm trying to be spiritual. He right here playing.
What's spiritual about knuckleheads, man?
It's better than what Moses called it for. This is your stiff neck.
Oh, well. No. Yeah, he did, man. Hey, that same thing got him kicked out the promised land. He can't even get there.
We want to welcome y'all on today. We thankful just to be here. We thankful for God for keeping and preserving us on this day. And so much has happened. A lot has happened even in the city of Memphis. But anytime we can just take time out and thank God, man. You know, a lot of stuff we take for granted.
Yeah, yeah.
Just got to be thankful that God has kept us and God is keeping our family, keeping our children, and we got to use this time because we're not under distress, and pray for those who are under distress because you never know when it's going to be your time. I never know when it's going to be my time. So, you know, we just got to keep one another lifted up in the midst of all that's going on. Somebody has to be able to say God is still good and to be able to see the good in the midst of all this darkness. I'm thankful and I'm excited on today for all that God has planned for you. All that God has planned for me. Sometimes we get weary, Rodney. Sometimes it don't look like we're praying for, look like the things that we're asking for are getting farther and farther away. But we got to hold on to our faith. That's why our faith has to be tested. That's why when you get to a place or beginning, you got to be able to see the end from the beginning. And when you get to the middle, when it's hard to look back to see the beginning and it looks like it's impossible to see the end, you still have to trust God. And I'm thankful on today, Rodney. I'm thankful once again for you coming on, man. And I like to spar back and forth with you, punch you, you punch me, and we just do what we do in the Lord. I'm going to turn it over to you, Rodney, just kind of introduce what we're doing. And we're going to talk about that, but we're going to just kind of spar a little bit, man. I feel some things going on, and there's something going on in the spirit. I normally don't say that, but there is something going on in the spirit, and I want to catch that flow, and I want to see exactly what it is that God is saying. So I'm going to turn it over to you, man. Say what you want to say. My people are your people.
Yeah, man. I'm going to say, and before we go into what we're dealing with, P.O., I'm kind of glad you brought that up because, so much stuff is going on. You know, we're here in Memphis, Tennessee, and one of the biggest things that's been in the news is this fight that took place in the one of our local high schools. And, you know, of course, it's videotaped because these kids got their phones and they're on social media and all this stuff. And so they're recording everything that they see. And it's like I say, P.O., it's really disturbing. However, I will say this. God allows these things to take place for us to come to a place of seriousness in Him, because this situation, and I'm sure this is Memphis is not the only place that deals with, teenage violence and all this craziness that's been going on. But God allows these things, man, for us to see the need to be leaders, for us to see the need to come to God for guidance and direction. And even before we do that, you know, God wants us to submit ourselves over to Him that He may be able, you know, to work through us, that we can be the leaders that our communities need. And so this is a wake-up call to the people of God everywhere that we need God. We definitely need him, man. And so it first starts with us that understand that. We got to keep each other encouraged. We got to keep each other lifted up. We got to keep praying one for another. But then also we need to be catalyst in change for our communities. And it starts in our home. It starts one home at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one community at a time, one church at a time. And the more we, you know, really, really go toward that area of being who God wants us to be, then changes can be made. And changes can be made not just in our communities, but in our state, in our nation, if we just truly humble ourselves and come to him. So this is a wake-up call, man, and we have to be on our guard, and we got to be on our post when it comes to these things. As far as this week, you know, we're wanted, you know, again, reintroduce our book, P.O., that you, me, and 10 other men had the privilege of doing, and that's 12 Kings and Their Treasures, Transparent Testimony Truth. And in this book, we're sharing the things that God has given us to those who are willing to read, those that are willing to listen. And in that, you know, this book is a ministry. This book is about encouraging one another. This book speaks to the broken men as well as the broken women. It speaks to marriages. It speaks to other areas of leadership. It speaks to the young man and the young woman. And it's the whole thing really is designed to see yourself as God sees you. See yourself as God sees you. And through our testimonies and the chapters that we have shared in this book and even our perspectives, you know, those areas really shines a light on really every aspect of the family, every aspect of every man and every woman in whatever situations that they're dealing with. And so, and what we're doing, P.O., is, you know, we just want to reintroduce the 12 Kings and Their Treasures, the book, and then also kind of highlighting certain chapters. And the chapter we're going to deal with tonight, P.O., and not necessarily we're going to dive into it, but we're going to talk amongst ourselves and to the to our listeners about one particular chapter, and that's our chapter from Kevin, Truth Be Told, Harrison. And this is a very, very powerful chapter, and it's titled, Who I Am Is Not Your Call. Who I Am Is Not Your Call. And P.O., I'm going to throw it right back at you. I love the opening. I want to quote something out of his chapter that's in the beginning. And it says, true deliverance is the freedom to receive a new identity. It starts first with silencing the unauthorized voices telling you who you are. Again, let me say this again. He says, true deliverance is the freedom to receive a new identity. It starts with first silencing the unauthorized voices telling you who you are. And he also goes on to say that a true relationship begins with you and Jesus Christ. That's where it starts, with you and Jesus Christ. If that foundation is not there, then everything else doesn't matter. Everything else is futile. Everything else is irrelevant. To really step into who we are designed to be and to really know that we are not who others say we are. We are who God says that we are. It must first start with who? Christ Jesus, the one who has redeemed us, the one who has saved us, and the one who has forgiven us. And reconciled us to our Father, which is in heaven. And so so that's all I have right now, P.O. I want to throw that back to you and let you speak on that, and we just kind of go back and forth, man. We don't want to take up too much time on that.
This is an awesome book. For those of you all who doesn't have it, it's called 12 Kings and Their Treasures. It's me, Rodney, and 10 other guys from different cities and different states who all came together with one common goal to bring our perspective, to bring the wisdom that God had given us in different areas of relationships and about being single. And we put it all and comprised it in one book. And, man, it's an awesome book. I love writing that chapter. Writing that chapter is surviving the crash. And then sometimes, you know, in life we crash. Sometimes your relationship that you thought would last forever, bam, it crashed. Sometimes your health that you thought you would have forever, sometimes it crashed. Sometimes the house get foreclosed on. Sometimes the things that you know, you look today, people are losing kids. The standard is for the kids to bury the parents, but now the parents look like they are bearing a lot of our children. So sometimes we crash. Sometimes things don't work out. And writing a book talking about how we survived that, you know. And I'm thankful that God is an honest God, that he never told us when we got saved everything was going to be perfect, everything was going to go well. But he made provision and gave us strength, gave us wisdom, gave us other examples how sometimes things not going to go your way, but all things will work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So what do I do during these times when it get hard? Who do I have to lean on when I'm crying and when my heart is broken? Where do I go when things are going and falling apart and I just don't know what to do? And we thankful to have a Lord and Savior who we can talk to at any time. I don't have to call pastor. I don't have to call my parents. I don't even have to get on my knees. I could just be riding down the street and there I am talking to the one who's able to do something. I don't care what you're going through. Jesus is always our solution. His wisdom, his words, his understanding, his statutes, his principles, his promises has been given to us so that we can use and to apply in our everyday life so we can bring about that change, bring about that difference, bring about that result that he's already spoken over our lives. Sometimes things get hard. I hear Rodney talking about the fight. I don't know anything about the fight, but it don't surprise me. There has to be something done in every place in the world to where we got to learn how to inject the word of God into every situation. Mm-hmm. Things going to change. It's going to have to come from us. The Bible said that the creation groaneth and waited for the true Son of God to be revealed. Mm-hmm. They're waiting on you to come who you're supposed to come because they understand that if anything or anybody going to help them, it's going to be God using you. They're tired of us saying that we're saved and we're this, but when they look at us, they see the same thing in us that they see in their own self. They see us in the same places where they go, and so they're looking for somebody who's serious about what they're proclaiming. I love your chapter, King, and I appreciate you for being a part of it and invite me in to be a part of it. Now, you said,
absolutely.
What's the title again? You said
the title of Kevin's chapter is "Who I Am Is Not Your Call," and he is really speaking toward making sure that you know that you are who God says you are, opposed to what others attempt to make you to be, or what they would like you to be based on what their preferences are. And so that's what he's really speaking to, appeal. So you want to speak on that right quick?
Oh, so what you're saying is what Tarek will be saying about me, that ain't hitting on nothing. That's what you're saying, Rodney?
What Tarek will say about you, man.
Yeah, it don't matter. Okay, man. I needed that. I received that. I received that.
Man.
Hallelujah. Woo, boy. Little up. Won't it do it?
You did, Daddy Corey. Hold on. You asking me about Kevin's chapter or my chapter? Which one you asking about? You must be clear.
I was asking you about Kevin's chapter. You know, I didn't want you to say anything about your chapter, but I did. But I appreciate them giving me a revelation on character. But one thing I learned. is that.
Oh man.
Learn how to be delivered from people.
Uh-huh.
All of our lives, we've been told what we can't be. We've been told you're going to be like your daddy, you're going to be like your mama. you've been told that when you told them, I want to be a doctor, you can't be a doctor, you can't even do math. There's so much that has been deposited inside of us, Rodney, that keeps us from taking steps of faith toward greatness.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that people have. I'm telling you, man, I remember being in high school. When I was in high school, the 12th grade year, I went to Kingsbury. They sent me to Kingsbury. And when I was in Kingsbury, I was in the streets, and I was in school. And every day, that's when I drove a Corvette to school every day. I remember my assistant principal, no, the head principal, he couldn't stand me. Every day he see me, he was telling me, you won't live to be 21. You ain't going to be nothing. You like the scum of the earth. I mean, he used to see me coming down the hall, and he just gravitated toward me just so he can speak some negative in my life. Mm-hmm. But we had an assistant principal who was a black man, and he used to see it, and it used to burn him up. So every day when he saw me, he would speak something nice into me. He used to always tell me, I hope the Lord allowed me to live long enough to see you use your leadership skills in the right way. He said, you are somebody special. He'll come to my class. He would check on me in class, and I would never be there. But instead of kicking me out, man, he would call me to his office. He would talk to me. He would encourage me. And, man, because of him, Rodney, I graduated. He stayed on top of my grade. He talked to my teachers. He made excuses for me. And what he did for me was he showed me that there are some people in leadership who do care about you.
Yeah.
And talking to him, I didn't want to let him down. And he was assistant principal, and they would never allow him to be a principal. He used to tell me, he said, great is how they're going to do you. But you got to be better than me. You got to get this paper. Mm-hmm. You got to do right. And because of him, man, when I got saved, man, I went and found that man. I talked to that man. When I graduated, that man gave me a hug so big, and man had tears in his eyes. He said, you done it.
Man.
And then when I told him, you know, to play basketball, I said, I got a scholarship. I'm going to Mississippi Valley State. Man, he was so proud. And so I understand that I'm not saying what I was doing was right, what I was doing, what I was doing. But I didn't need you to keep putting me down. I need you to show me a different way. I need you to encourage me. And so, Rodney, one thing we have to do, and when you learn how to be delivered from people, that's when you can walk into your true deliverance. Sometimes you want to do something, but you're scared to what other people are going to say. You're scared how other people are going to react. But when you get to the point where you say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, regardless, I'm going to do it just like Jesus with that woman in the well, and Jesus sitting with the sinners, he knew he was going to be prosecuted. He knew folk were going to talk about it. What kind of man is that he sit among sinners? What kind of man is that he hang out with that woman who's sleeping with everybody? But he knew his purpose. When you know your purpose, you ain't worried about the next day. When he went to the cross, they still talked about him. They said this about him. They said that. They laughed at him, but he kept his mouth closed. See, when you get to the place, Rodney, knowing who you are, what everybody else said don't matter. You know, just like our mama taught us back in the past, it ain't what they call you, but it's what you answer to. And so I remember growing up as a dark kid, man, just dark kid. I was just black for no reason, man, just dark as they come. And so, you know, I was always made fun of. I mean, everywhere I went, man, people would make fun of me, man. You know, I'm telling you, the light-skinned kid, everybody. They ain't know my name. I was black. You know, I was me and Joe Seven. We were the black dude in the hood. But what happened is as I got older, man, you know, that stuff started messing with you, man. Police pulling me over. First thing they want to do is call me Blackie and all this. But I'm thankful, man, that I had loving parents that spoke the word over me, grandma praying over me. So many people today struggling, Rodney, I'm going to let you have it, because they're trying to find themselves. Man, we 30, 40, and 50 years old trying to find ourselves. And then people giving us nicknames, man, that we have tried to live up to. And see, you know, I'm just turning back over to you, man, because I just feel like I'm rambling. So I'm going to walk in freedom tonight. I don't care what Terrica say about me. I thank God for you, Rodney, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
Terrible. P.O., you're hitting on some good stuff, and no, you're not rambling, man. You never ramble. You really are letting God actually use you tonight, because it's funny that you brought up what happened in school, because I had a similar situation in fifth grade. I'm going to say it like that. I was actually around three other guys who were just, you know, really knuckleheads. They didn't grow up in the church, but I grew up in the church. Matter of fact, I was currently in church during that time. And so I knew from right or wrong. I knew how to carry myself and knew what is expected of me by my mother and those that you know, watched over me. And so there was one particular day, P.O., where where all four of us would just start talking bad about this one teacher. We thought she was ugly. She was, you know, she was dark. And I ain't trying to throw shade back at you for what you said.
Yeah, but yes, you are. I hear you, man. You take
no,
me
man,
back,
man.
You gonna make me cry. You ain't gonna talk. Why she got to be dark?
I'm just saying, bro. Look, you good, man. You deliver from all that, man. You deliver from all that. Anyway, she
for
was dark.
Dog? Okay.
No, P.O., let me go, man. Look, she was dark skinned. She had the African skin color, man, like she's from Nigeria. Can I say it like that? Is that, you know? But anyway, she had short hair, and we just thought that she was just ugly. You know, we 10, 11-year-old knuckleheads, man. And I'm sitting there and just going right along with him. So, yeah, man, she's been all jacked up, man. She, you know. And so one day, man, we was in the PE room, and she walked in and she looked our way. And so all of us, you know, we standing together and we was like, oh, there she go again, y'all. You know, so we at it again, saying our little stuff. She walked over to my teacher and she had a little small conversation with him. And then he nodded his head. And then, so she started walking toward us. And I'm like, oh, boy, you know, here she come, man. You know, y'all brace yourself, all this type stuff. She pointed at me and said, you come here. Me, right? And mm-hmm. I was like, I said, what about the other three? She said, no, I didn't ask you about the other. I said, you come here. And so the other three was like, man, what's up with this? You know, so she pulled me over to the side, way, you know, other side of the gym. And she said, look. She said, you, I watch you, and I watch all of you, and I see you snickering. I know you guys got a lot of negative things to say, you know, talking bad and all of this, right? But she said, you are going to respect me. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like how I appear to you. She said, but you are going to respect me. And at that time, you know, I was humble then. I'm saying, yes, ma'am. And she said that, now, when I see you next time, I expect you to treat me with the utmost respect. I expect you to say hello, good morning, not none of that junk and mess that you've been saying the last, you know, few days that you've been here. You're going to treat me with respect. It's just that simple. And I said, okay, yes, ma'am. So she started to walk off, and I said, well, hold on, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. I said, can I ask you something? I said, why did you pull me? What about the other three over there? She said, well, I'm going to tell you like this. Those three over there, they're not going to amount to nothing. She said, but you, she said, you got potential. And she walked off. I was floored. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting up here. I called this woman all kind of stuff. You know, we talked back then, man. But then she comes back and pulls me out of that crowd and say that She said, I don't need to say nothing to them because they're not going to be anything. She said, but you are going to be something. That's why you need to start treating people with respect, because it's going to, that's also what she said too. You need to learn to start treating people with respect because you have potential, and that's going to get you places, right? And so I was like, man. So going back to what you were saying, even though I treated her like crap, talked about her and this and that, she saw past all of that, bro. She looked past all that negativity and saw some potential. And as you was talking about Christ, you know, one of my favorite passages of scripture comes out of John chapter 1, I think around verse 46, where Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It was hard to believe that the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that has been promised throughout generation to generation, would come out of a place called Nazareth. Nazareth wasn't a good place, man. To be called a Nazarene wasn't a good thing at all. There was so much negativity there, so much poverty, so much laziness. I mean, they had all kind of things, negative things to say about Nazareth. And for Christ to come out of Nazareth, that's why Daniel said the very thing that he said. Can anything come out of Nazareth, really? And so what I'm putting together tonight is the fact that it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you failed in. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you made. It doesn't matter who you fooled around with, whether you're a single parent, whether you're a father of several kids and you're not married to neither one of the mothers, whether you used to be a dope seller, a drug addict, a drunk, you know, a whoremonger, whatever it was that you used to be. God still can use you in a capacity that others may know who he is. It goes back to what you were saying earlier, P.O. God needs to, the earth, this generation, groans for what? The sons of God to manifest themselves. And what they're saying is that people need to know that God exists. And if people don't know that God exists, then, you know, how would they know? God included us in the plan of redemption. And guess what? Guess who's he using? He's using people who have been talked about. He's using people who are constantly ridiculed. He's using people that have been told that they would never amount to anything, never do nothing. The things that has happened in their life, whether you've been abused, sexually abused, whether you've been raped, whether you've been blackmailed, whether you've been victimized from whatever it is, it does not matter. Doesn't matter your background. Your background has no bearing on the blessings that God has for you in the future. None whatsoever. He's already died for that. He has redeemed you. And if you accept him as Lord and Savior and truly allow him to be Lord, God, take that negative background and use it for his glory. And when God uses that for his glory, he's bringing you right along with him. Amen. So for anybody tonight that is dealing with something taking place right now where you feeling less than a child of God, you feeling less than a father, you feeling less than a mother, a husband or a wife, less than a leader, whatever it may be, you are somebody in the Lord. If Jesus can come through Nazareth and accomplish what he accomplished, because he was already, see, P.O., the thing is, he was already the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords while he was in Nazareth. His surroundings didn't affect who he already was. And we got to see who we are in God, regardless of our past, and sometimes regardless of our present situations. We got to see who we are regardless and operate from who we are. Yes, who you are is not anybody's call except God's call. If he say that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're the head and you're not the tail, that you're above and you are not beneath, that you are a holy nation, a peculiar people that's been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, you are somebody. You're already a king and a queen before you even ran into the problems you ran into, before you even ran into the circumstances you ran into, before you experienced the negativity in your life that sometimes have put us in a position where we feel that we are unworthy and that we are unauthorized to do anything for God. But what? Christ died before the foundations of the earth, before the foundations of the world. The plan of redemption was already there. God already knew what was going to happen. But the beautiful thing about it is that you were already created a success. You were already created a conqueror well before you even face your first situation. And we have gone through situation after situation, Peel. We have gone from trouble to trouble. We have gone from storm to storms, right? But guess what? God continued to bring us through. And God has been so gracious that he has kept you, P.O., he has kept me up to this point, and he has kept everyone else that know who God is and has experienced him as Lord and Savior. Similar situation, P.O., similar situation. And did not know until I gave my life to Christ that God was speaking through that woman. I didn't give my life to Christ until I was 25 years old. Had experience with God when I was around 10. That's ironic. Had a miracle took place in my life when I was 10, but I can't go into all of that. But didn't surrender to him until I was about 25 or 26 years old. Then it dawned on me that God was speaking through her that time to let me know that all that you're going through, all the mistakes that you made, Christ is going to wash it all away. Now, the memory doesn't go, but the penalty for all of that has been paid for. And so what? He used what we went through, man, to bring us to where we are right now. And I'm grateful. And not only am I grateful for you, I'm grateful for what God done for me. I'm grateful for what God is doing through the lives of each and every person that's listening in right now. And what he's going to do, even in the future, that we have not even experienced yet. Back at you, bro.
Man, I knew you were going to come on with all that old preaching, man. I knew it. I was right home. I see you. No, I was just messing with you. That's a good word, man. You like said, man. Who I am
here,
is
man.
Not your call. Who I am is not your call. You right, man. People will say stuff to you, man. Hell, you thinking you can't do this, can't do that. And then, you know, then sometimes, man, you'll start to believe that stuff, man. And God will put people in your life, man, to show you differently. Like you said, that woman spoke to you because of that principle. I graduated, man. Like I said, the man principle told me every day, you the scum of the earth. You're not going to make it to 21 years old. He told me that every time he saw me. But the black assistant principle, he used to tell me, you're somebody. Right now, I remember a time I was coming home from school. Me and Will Pierce and another friend of mine named Lewis. And while we were walking, this guy pulled up and pulled a gun out on us. And he told us to get on the ground. There's a white guy. He told us to get on the ground. They hit the ground. I ain't finna get on no ground. So I took off. Bam! Somebody got to go check it. And so I was rolling, man. Rolled down Merton. I went down Will Pierce's house, hit his mama door, and blah, blah, blah. She come back. Went around my house. My folks came back. And by that time, they were walking down the street. But the white guy called the police and told the folks that we was trying to rob him. So here we are in the eighth grade at Snow Junior High in court. And the judge talking about we looking at 2 to 5 years in jail. Man, they talked so bad to us, told us what we were. Man, we left there, man. We were so confused because we was leaving basketball practice. We was in school. We felt like we were doing what was right. And now all of a sudden you're going to tell me I got 2 to 5 years because this man shot, pulled a gun on him and he pulled a gun on us. And, man, only God worked that situation out, man. So it's not what people call you and you answer to. People will try to see one thing about love, Rodney. Love is not controlling. Too many people in relationships where the other person is controlling them. People will tell you what you can't do, what you can do. You can't do this without me. I dare you to try to leave. They'll put all that negative stuff in you, and then you'll start to operate on it because you'll start to see what it is that they're saying. But also, Rodney, our situations talk to us. Some of the stuff that you face with, you can't start a business. Start a business. Lex start talking to you. Yeah, I want to see you go out and get that building. You're going to fall on your face. I mean, you out here claiming your healing. I'm healed. I'm healed. But then you get a pain in your stomach. The pain reminds you, yeah, you think you healed. Yeah, you can say that all you want to. You're a hypocrite. There's so much telling us that we can't be what it is that we desire to be. There's so much to you that you even know about. You know, we always talk about Abram, who thought he was Abram, but when he met God, he found out he was Abraham. How Jacob thought he was Jacob, but when he met God, he found out he was Israel. Saul thought he was Saul, but when he met God, he found out he was Paul. Simon thought he was Simon, but when he met God, he found out he was Peter. There's so much that God has planned for you. And Jeremiah, he said, I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you a good future. But, man, when you're living in a world where you see a lot of negative stuff telling you what you can't do, what you can't have, what you can't be, man, this stuff will start moving on you. But you got to realize, man, one of the greatest kings in the Bible, man, was looked over, David. They went to the house to pick the king, man. They looked at everybody but him. Sometimes other people are going to look over you. Sometimes other people are not going to see your significance. That's why when What You Call came out with this song, he saw the best in me. A lot of people could identify with that. Because sometimes, Rodney, we don't even feel our best. Sometimes we know we messed up. We had plans that by the time I got 40, I'm going to been done this. I'm going to been had kids. I'm going to And then you look back and you see, man, I didn't accomplish anything that I wanted to accomplish, man. That stuff started to wear on you. I hear women all the time say, I'm getting older. I am not going to get married. It looks like my time is about to pass. I have to tell them, I don't care if you get 60 years old. There's going to always be some 60-year-old men. So don't fret. Don't get out of whack. Because God has you. Sometimes we don't understand where we are. Sometimes I don't understand why I'm going through this. I just left a meeting from the church, meeting with my pastor. Him and I got to talking about some things, man. When you get to looking at your life and you get to seeing stuff that you're going through and that God has brought you out of, man, you got to use that, man, to give you the strength to face what you're facing right now. You got to be like David when he was looking at Goliath. He said, I've already whooped the lion. I've already whooped the bear. What I'm facing right now, I'm going to remember what God gave me the victory then, and I'm going to use this right now. I mean, so many times, Rodney, we keep each other down, especially as colored people, man. It's us who keep each other on for. We got to learn how to celebrate people. Like you said, who I am is not your. People are trying to tell you who you are. They try to put you in a box, you this, you this. But you got to believe within yourself. You got to get to the place that you don't care what anybody say around you, that you respect your opinion about yourself more than anybody. I ain't talking about looks. I'm talking now about ability, achievements. I'm talking about dreams. I'm talking about stuff that's on the inside of you. Because right now, that's some stuff on the inside of you, man, that you don't even think you can do. You listen to a lot of people who've been called to preach. A lot of them ask, man, who me? Why me? A lot of them feel like a lot of them feel like, man, you know, why you want me? Well, see, he could see something in you. Yeah. He could see something in you. I don't just know about you, but all them other people, he could see something in you. And he wants to do it.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you took me back like that, man. You took me back on that one. That's exactly what I said. I said, wait a minute, hold on, wait a minute, God, whoa.
man.
You like me? And so the thing is, Rodney, we got to know who we are, whose we are. We got to understand that there's going to be some negativity coming around, but we got to hang on to what we believe, man. I just believe this, man, with all my heart, that we have some greater days ahead of us, that you got to know that what you pray for is going to come to pass. And see, a lot of people get asked, I want you to pray for me, P.O., because they believe I can get a prayer through better than they can. Now, you got to believe that God will hear you. You got to believe that your actions. You got to come up with your plan. You have to do what you have to do to make sure that you are successful in whatever it is that you're trying to do. Rodney, I'm going to tell you this, man. I remember, I'm going to tell you this life-changing moment. I had a time, man, when I was in the streets. Some fellas kicked my door in, and they came in to rob me. And, man, they stayed in my house almost an hour. I got a knot on my head now where they pistol whipped me. They pistol whipped me, asking, what a money, what a dope, what a money, what a dope. They just beat me, man, beat me. I was bloody. They tied me up with a telephone cord and duct tape, put me in hot water, trying to drown me in the tub. And, man, it was just so much that I was going through, man. They held my legs open, and one was stomping me in my mid-session. They just stomped. I'm talking about 45 minutes of just, my man, goodness. When they left, I just was laying in the tub, man. They left the door open, and when they left, but one of my friends came over right when they left, and he saw the door open. He saw all the furniture where he went to his car, got his pistol. He was calling my name, and he found me in a bathtub. And, man, you know, you come out the game thinking, man, I need to quit. But when you submerge in that culture, man, you think that's all you can do. That's all I said I can do. I got to keep moving. I ain't no chump. I ain't no punk. If I was, I would have gave him my money. I would have gave him the drug. But if you're going to come rob me, you got to do what it is that you came to do. And so one day, right, this life changing to me. I don't know if I ever told you. I got a cousin named Brian Johnson who was getting ready to preach his first sermon in 1992. And Brian came over and asked me, would I come hear him speak? I said, yeah. And when he left, I felt convicted. I felt bad to the point that I called somebody to come move the dope that I had in the house. And probably I had close to $30,000 worth of dope in the house. Don't you know, as soon as he left, I had somebody to come get that dope. And as soon as that person left, the narcotics bust my house. My house, I'd have been locked up now. And so I felt as if God was trying to tell me something. But it wasn't enough, because that was my culture. That's what I grew up in. I was going to church. I was paying tithes. Matter of fact, I was getting ready to go to church when they kicked my door in. I was sitting in the house bumping that old Spanish Fly, smoking onion. You don't remember that, John, do you? Right? Yeah, I was sitting up smoking. Yeah. I was listening to the song when they kicked my door in. But check this out, Rodney. I had some police, some detectives come to my house like a week after that and put me in the car. They had just come out with this conspiracy law where they ain't even had to have no drugs on you. All they have to do is catch you on video or some of your informant tell on you and you can go to jail. I had about three cars up, Rodney. I'm riding in the back seat, man. I'm like, I'm going to jail. I'm scared, man. I'm 19, 18 years old. Man, them folks took me to a hotel. I'm like, oh, they finna beat me. I'm finna get beat again. But, man, they took me in that hotel room, Rodney. When I got in that room and looked on the bed, all I could see was pictures of me and everybody from North Memphis. Everybody who I was kicking it with, and my family members and everybody. Man, I said, man, we got enough information on you. Man asked me, why you stop playing basketball? You know, I was a player on the court, but, you know, I was trying to be a player in the streets. I told him I had just changed the game. The man told me, man, we got enough information on you to put you away for a long time. He started naming people who I was hanging with every day, Rodney, who had been busted and didn't tell me. He said, you already know they're trying to set you up. Told me you just came back from Texas. Didn't you?
Wow.
I knew I had him on vacation. He told me, he said, I'm going to do you a favor because you're a good kid and I believe in you. We don't want you. We want everybody else. He said, if you go to school and leave, we'll let you go. Now, I was at UT Mars going to class about 2 weeks. And I just started living on campus. I said all this to say, man, God will put people in your life to help change your life. And all the time it won't be church people. Everybody don't want to see you do well. Some people want to see you do well. I just want you to take away the day, believe in yourself. There's a lot that you can accomplish. Believe in yourself. Sometimes you're frustrated, and because you're frustrated because of your situation, you start taking it out on people around you. No, don't take it out on them. Just have the mindset that I'm going to do better. Come up with a different plan. If this plan is not working, I need to come up with something else. Because sometimes you see people, Rodney, who's growing, who God is blessing. You be wondering, man, what's wrong with me? Why I'm not being blessed like that? Don't get envious. Don't get jealous. Come up with another plan. Keep seeking God and ask God to show you the way to go. I'm going to turn it over to you, man.
Man.
So you can say what you want. But don't give me none of that preaching, though.
Man. Man.
Hey, Terica, I know, Terica, I know you're listening. Do you not hear this man? He got the nerve to talk about me, talking about preaching, and, you know, I knew he was going to come with his preaching. But, you know, he talking about, you know, Abram to Abraham and and all. And come on, man. You know, anyway, I'm gonna leave you alone tonight on that, bro. First of all, that's a powerful testimony. And you did share that with me, P.O., and there's always – not in a bad way, but I was refreshing to hear, to listen to how God shielded you, even through all of that, how His plan for you was so powerful that He even touched those who did have the right, did have the authority, and what did have the evidence to put you away, you know, but God. You know, is something about those but God moments in our life when we could have been in a very destructive situation, a very damaging position in life, but God stepped in, and it's amazing, P.O., the power of God's grace in those situations when we know that we were nowhere where we needed to be when it comes to salvation. A lot of things I recognize God was doing in my life well before I surrendered to Him. Well before I surrendered to Him, His hand was on my life. No wonder I couldn't do certain things when I was out there. No wonder it's, you know, instead of going out with my boys on the weekend, I decided to stay home on certain times and realize that the days that I stayed home, something crazy happened. Now I get it. Now I see where His hand of grace was definitely in there. And P.O., you said something early, and I really feel I need to say this to whoever it is that's on the broadcast tonight, that, again, when we're dealing with who I am is not your call, we got to be careful about, like you said earlier, the people that will begin to try to call us things that we are not. And you know what? And P.O., it's not always that they will come up with these labels. You know what I'm talking about? It's not that they will come up with these titles for you that God has not given you. They'll try to shape and form you and manipulate you to becoming
what it is that you're not. We got to be careful who we have in our circle. We got to be careful about who we call friends. Got to be very careful about that, because what people tend to do, P.O., is they will, because you are a believer. One of the things I've recognized in the body of Christ is that when you are unlearned, people will tell you all kinds of stuff. Matter of fact, people will even try to use your ignorance. Not saying it and that you're stupid, anything, not that type of ignorance. I'm talking about ignorance when you don't necessarily know everything. They will use a believer's ignorance to try to shape them into something that they're not. In other words, if I know that you don't really understand what love really is about, then I'm going to try to manipulate you into being outside of God's will to do things that you have no business doing. And what happens, P.O., is that we allow people to come into our circle. They come into the most intimate parts of our life. And guess what, bro? They're not fit to be there. They don't have your best interests. And another thing, too, how this happens, P.O., is people will start talking and their words will be used as manipulation based upon, okay, let me get closer to you. Let me know your secrets. Let me know what your faults are. They will use that to try to what? To try to get in closer. Try to get closer to your heart, basically. They want you to bring them in and they want you to accept them as a what? Close friend, close confidant, whether it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They want to come in close. But the problem is, P.O., we bring in people close to us that are not authorized to be there. Why? Because their lack of self-control can damage you. And this is what I mean by this. You notice how we'll use the word, you know, as a believer, you're supposed to love anyway. You're supposed to be compassionate anyway. We're supposed to accept people for who they are. That's true. Just because I'm accepting you as for who you are, it doesn't qualify you to come in close. And what are the, you know, it's like, Peel, why would you, if you know you need somebody to drive you downtown, why would you bring your son and say, son, drive me downtown, knowing good and well he can't control that car? He ain't got no driver's license. You know what I'm saying? He will run off the road. It's probably as quickly as he get in that car. In other words, he has no control. He has no skill. And sometimes what we do is people will use guilt as manipulation to bring us to get in close. But the problem is we're allowing people to get in close in areas that are vital. You know, when we start sharing with people, you know, our deepest secrets, our thoughts, our flaws, and this and that, they will end up using that against you. Because what? They really don't have your best interests. But we cannot be so accepting and so loving and so open to everybody, Peel, that we'll allow others to come in. And when I said all this and bring it to this point right here, who I am is not your call. And people will try to come in so close to try to what, shape you into somebody that they're not, shape you into somebody that you're not, and try to make you fit what they want you to fit in their life for their benefit, but which in turn is going to be for your harm and your destruction. We got to stop being so open. We got to stop being so compassionate that we become foolish and allow people to come in so close, man. And, you know, the worst thing that we can do, well, put it like this, the worst hurt that you can deal with is when you're hurt by somebody that's up close. When you are ridiculed by somebody that's what? Up close. When you're being criticized by somebody that what? That's in close. And a lot of people are damaged from those type of relationships. Why? Because they allow people to come in and use that time to what? Try to shape and mold you into something that you're not. And while they was there in that vital area, they were saying things that they had no business. They were being abusive. They're being manipulative. All these things that take place. And I think you understand where I'm going with that. We got to don't allow people to call you what God has not called you. And also don't allow people to try to shape and form you into somebody that God has not ordained for you to be. Because people will do it. People definitely will do it. And we got to be careful with that. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. And sometimes this type of talk comes from pain and suffering experienced through people that were allowed to come up close that had no business being there. Why? Because they didn't have self-control, nor they didn't have your best interest. So we got to guard what God wants us to be. Guard who God has called us to be, man. We got to guard that. And can't let outsiders come in and attempt to destroy or injure or cripple or disable what God meant for us to be. People will do it.
Thank God for that, Bishop. Let me be obedient about something, man. As we was talking earlier, I felt God was giving me time while you were speaking to speak something to me. And God put three people on my heart. And while you was talking, I just went to my inbox and I inboxed them, "How you doing?" And God had told me to say this on the broadcast, that there's somebody contemplating suicide. Things had gotten so bad that they're thinking about killing themselves. And so I didn't say it because, you know, I just want to keep flowing with the thing. But as you was talking, Rodney, it kept being hit on my heart. And I know when God is speaking to me, when not, but this was one of the times. So instead of just saying it over the air, I didn't. The three names that came in my head, I didn't know why they came. So I just inboxed all three and asked how they doing. Every last one of them inboxed me back, talking about, all said this, when it boiled down, that they all thinking about they want to kill themselves, basically, about how see, you don't never know, man. Like you talking about who I am is not your call. You never know what people are going through.
No, you
and
don't.
So what I've done, I've sent my number to all three, and I asked them to call me as soon as I get off this show. Because, man, people are going through deep stuff. I would never tell their business, but just like I just told my business of what I went through, but I knew that what God was telling me to say, but I just didn't know it was three people. It might be more than that. People are going through tough times right now. That's why we got to pray for people. We watched a movie last night at church when the guy said something so powerful, Rodney. He was talking about being caught up in them payday loans, trying to make ends meet. And he said, "We are judged by our decisions." But he said, "Don't judge me until you know my options." Sometimes, man, people don't have the options that you have, so they do what they have to do to make things work or to make things happen. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do, Rodney, with your permission, I know it's my show. You ain't new to this. It's already 8 o'clock. So what we're going to do, man, because I want to get to these people, I want us to pray, and then I'm going to go ahead and talk to these people. But I thank everybody, man, that's on this call. I thank everybody, man. I want you to check on your loved ones. And there's a spirit, man, that'll have you depressed right through here, man. Almost like this spirit around Christmas time when you want to do stuff and you can't. And right now you're not happy with your life. Stuff not going like you planned it. And some of you may not be thinking about killing your life, but sometime when you stop living, sometime, Rodney, that could be just as bad because you don't have the faith to step out. You don't think that you can come up with something, or you want to be in a relationship. Your relationship is not going good. You want to be loved. Everybody want to be loved. But the key to the thing is that decide right now, I'm going to be who God say I am, and I can have what he say I can have. I can do what he say I can do. And so what I'm going to get you to do, Bishop, I'm going to get you to pray, and I'm going to get off. And you know if I need you anytime within the next hour, I'll hit you back so you can touch and agree with me. I just got to find out if they're comfortable with other folks more. So leave us in prayer. I thank you all for listening in, for joining in, man. And I'm just overwhelmed. Go ahead, man.
All right, P.O. Let's just go straight to the Lord. Oh, gracious eternal God, we first come to you tonight first to give your name the praise, to give you glory. Father, to give you honor, God, there's none like you, God. There's none like you, O God. And we just come right now, Lord, as humble and as meek as we know how. God, we know that you're able to do exceeding and above all that we may even ask or think according to the power that works within us, God. And we know tonight, God, that you are a heart regulator, God. You are a mind regulator, God. You are a healer, Father. And we're asking you right now, God, to let your presence be known in the midst of this call right now, Father. Those three names, oh God, that P.O. reached out to, Father. And not just those three names, God, but any other person that may be on this call, Father, that is dealing with areas of depression, God, dealing with oppression concerning suicide, Father, that's dealing with emotional distress right now, God, emotional pain, God, psychological pain, Father. God, we know that you can heal right now, Father. So, God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you right now that you stretch out your hand, God, from heaven. And, Lord, want you to touch the mind right now, Father. God, heal the mind, God, for the damages that have taken place, God, from the hurt that has taken place, Lord, from the stresses of life, God, for seeing things, Father, that has been disturbing to the eyes and that disturbance, Lord, has reached the mind and penetrated into the spirit, God, causing discomfort, Lord. But we know that you are a healer. So, Satan, we're asking you, no, we're commanding you right now to get your hand off the minds of God's people right now in the name of Jesus. We bind you right now. We cast you down. We cast you out. We have authority in the name of Jesus on tonight. We praying that every chain will be broken, every prison door will be opened right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, bless your name tonight, God. We come to you right now, Lord, as meek and as humble as we know how, and we know that you're able tonight, Lord, to deliver. You're able to set free. God, you're able to heal from the top of every head to the sole of every feet. So, God, we thank you tonight for your healing. We thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. You are still the balm in Gilead. And we thank you right now, God. So we speak to that condition tonight. We speak to that depression tonight. God, we speak against the suicide thoughts tonight. God, we speak against the hand of the enemy right now, Father, by the power and the authority that you have already invested in us. You said that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, that we should tread upon serpents, and that if we drink anything deadly, it would not harm us. So, God, you have given us the power, and we exercise it on tonight, God. So, God, move tonight. Move by your spirit. God, move by your anointing right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, that you bring peace into that mind right now. God, bring joy into that heart, God. Do it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, meet that need tonight. Meet that need in every aspect of the believer's life. And God, we praise you now, God, for what you're doing. We thank you now for the deliverance. We thank you now for the healing, oh God. God, we may not see it right now, but God, we believe that it's on the way. And God, we know that you're able. We're calling upon the only name that we know, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. At the name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And we thank you, Lord, tonight. We thank you for the deliverance and the healing of those three names. And, Lord, we thank you for the healing and deliverance of those that we have no idea about right now, but those that are listening. And, God, we claim it by faith, and we believe every word and every promise that you have spoken in your word. And not just spoken in your word, God, that you have spoken into the lives of every believer. So, God, we give you the praise. We give you all the glory tonight, and we give you all the honor. These and many blessings we ask in your son Jesus' name. Thank God, and amen.
Amen. Amen, bro. Appreciate that. Thank you, everybody, for making on the call tonight, and we'll see you again. Enjoy. Pray for me.